Just had a word with Sue, actually. The 8th of May is not next Saturday, so I think it's 27th or 24th. 24th, probably. So the 8th of May definitely is the right day. Okay. Right, the first reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. And it's on page 1163. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And the second reading is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to verse 15. That's on the same page. Okay, so that's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 15. And it's entitled, Sowing Generously. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided to give in his heart to give. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
We're going to like to reread just a couple of the verses just to underscore them from our passages. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, 7 and 8 say this. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. This morning's passage is a familiar one, and is often used as the sort of base passage for talking about Christian giving. And rightly so, because it talks about Christian giving. But this morning, it was subtle, wasn't it, then? This morning, I want to talk about sharing. And it's only a slight difference, but then it's a massive difference as well. Because, and Sue actually hit the nail on the head, there's a significant difference because we're able to give, say, money, we're able to give without giving ourselves. And we can meet a need, which is good and to be recommended. But when we share, it's a matter of the heart. When we share our money, we can't do that without, in some way, sharing ourselves. And so it's a slight difference, but you'll see that it actually has quite a big consequence. Because there are some ways that we can give where the recipient actually feels a little bit ignored or belittled or patronised. We could give to someone who's begging on the street in a way that actually isn't very... It puts money in the hat, but actually it takes away from that person's dignity. It can be done in a disrespectful way, can't it? It can be done in a way that takes away rather than gives, even if we're meeting the need in one sense. I don't know about you, but there's few things in life that I like having done less than something being done for me out of a sense of duty. What might have otherwise been a valued act of service instead has a sort of an aftertaste. Brings a sense of humiliation. What could have been reaching out with friendship actually seems to have just a feeling about it. I can see that a lot of you are going, yeah, I know what that is, and you're struggling like me to find words for it. But you know what I mean, don't you? There is that sense. Something that seems generous, actually you kind of feel almost sometimes slightly used in receiving it. People want to respond to it. We want people, rather, to respond to us, not because they feel they should, but because they want to. It was Valentine's Day a little while ago. Picture the scene. Husband comes home with some flowers and gives them to his wife. His wife says, "Thank you, darling." "Well, I felt I ought to." That's called shooting yourself in the foot. It's a bad idea, isn't it? Because if you give something, even if it's something nice, if it's flowers or chocolates, whatever, and it's out of duty, well, you know, I saw the advert, and so, you know, I felt that I should. Or, you know, there's a sense that we can give that actually doesn't work. We can leave the person feeling perhaps patronised, perhaps slightly suspicious. Gents, again, I'm picking on you because I'm, you know, I'm one of you. We're all in this together. Imagine this. And I've seen my dad do this. It was one of those things that I was a young teenager, and my dad brought some flowers home, and I thought, well, that's a nice thing. You know, because he didn't normally buy flowers or anything like that. And straight away my mum said, "What do you want?" And he said, he looked, I mean, as you can imagine, innocent, "What do you mean?" And then she followed it up with, "What have you done?" Because if something isn't given out of a sense of giving, out of sharing, then there's a feeling of, hang on, what's the catch? Do you see what I mean? That we can actually give something, but we're taking something, we're giving with one hand and taking with the other. That's how sometimes it's the difference, it can be the difference between giving and sharing. Sharing gives with both hands. Do you see? It's such a slight difference, but actually it makes a big difference. It makes obviously a big difference in our relationship with God. God, it's right to serve God. It's right to obey him. But if we do that out of a sense of duty rather than a sense of privilege, if we do that because we feel that we must rather than out of a sense of love, then those acts of service still happen. Other people are helped, and yet we still feel impoverished. And that's part of the difference with giving and sharing. We can give, say money, or we can give acts of service, and the other person can be blessed, but, you know, we've not engaged. Whereas when we share, the other person is blessed, and so are we. Because we give ourselves, we open ourselves to the other person, we actually find that then there becomes this cycle of life that takes place. Paul talks about it as sowing seed, but describes God as the one who gives us bread on our table and seed to sow, so that's more than we need, and that multiplies so that there's plenty to go around. And we then have this verse, verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You listen to the universals there, it's all, every, abounding. It's overflowing. And that's because it comes out of generosity, it comes out of the heart, rather than just out of the pocket. And that's what we're talking about. God wants us to love Him and to serve Him and to share with Him. Not out of a sense of duty, but out of a sense of love and joy and gratitude. In our sort of words of orientation where we focus our minds, in communion, we use the words, we come to this table not because we must, but because we may. Not because we must, but because we may. If you've got nothing else, just take that phrase home with you and think about your life with God and your sharing and your service to God, and keep thinking, not because I must, but because I may. And it will change everything, because it blurs the boundaries of duty and becomes life, becomes something that's alive and growing and wonderful. Not because we should, but because we can. So this passage in 2 Corinthians is in the context of a year before there was famine in Jerusalem, and they decided they were going to make a collection. And a year had passed, and they'd been putting money aside. And you know how it is, sometimes when you want a thing, you want to do a thing, maybe you want to purchase something, or you want to go on a holiday, or you want to do a thing. And as time passes, you kind of start to change your mind. You know how you kind of rethink the thing. And they could see this money accumulating, and it wasn't going anywhere, but it was this pot was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And Paul was saying, now don't backpedal on this. You need to follow through and give it. You need to share it with the people in need. And sometimes we do that. We think about what we started a year ago and we think, oh, well, it just kind of fizzled out. And Paul is saying, don't fizzle out. Let this be something that is an expression of your heart that's overflowing. God pours into you and blesses you. Let that overflow and bless others. Sometimes when God gives us good things, and it's something that you sometimes see in Christian books as well, that talk about money, that talk about God's blessing in our lives, and they talk about it as us getting and bottling up this blessing. This is all about me, God blessing me. And there's something horribly wrong there, because that's not how it's meant to be. And I sort of refer you to that old illustration of the two seas that you can find in Israel. One is the Sea of Galilee. It has water going in, and it has water going out into the Jordan River. And because there's this flow, what's going in is contained but overflows back out, that sea is teeming with life. Fishing was a huge industry in biblical times. It was teeming with life because there was water going in and water going out. It overflowed, and so it was constantly fresh and teeming with life. And the other sea that you can find in Israel is at the bottom end of the Jordan River. Water goes in and it doesn't come out, and we call it the Dead Sea. There is no life in it. If we only receive and don't overflow, if we only receive and don't give back out, if we try and bottle up that blessing, then we find that we wither on the inside. We're not teeming with life. But in fact, we feel barren and salty and bitter. None of us want that. So that's the kind of thinking that is found in this passage. Proverbs 11, verse 24 and 25 says, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. That's what we were just saying about those two C's. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. So as we give, we find that God will pour more in, and that can overflow. And we find ourselves being refreshed and teeming with life, and others being blessed. And in the things that Sue said as she was talking about the different pictures, that thought was coming through again and again and again. Yes, we're giving to meet needs, but there's life. We're sharing. We're connecting with people. We're engaging with people. We're giving them respect, because anyone can be down on their luck at some point. Circumstances can reverse, and we can find ourselves in need. So when we meet people that are in dire straits, we want to give them that respect and love and engagement that we would hope for. So out of the good that God pours into us, we overflow and share with others. In chapter 8, and we'll talk about this more this evening, because for the next few months, I thought we'd try something different. In the morning, we'll have a talk, say, on sharing. And in the evening, we'll also have a different kind of reflection and thought on sharing as well. And we'll do the same with power next week and so on. So we'll try and do that to expand and fill out some of our thinking, because we're always a bit pushed on time, because the Bible has so much to say about life. So we'll think about this more later on tonight. But in Genesis, I read generosity and it said Genesis. In chapter 8, which starts with generosity, it talks about Christian charity, Christian giving and sharing, and it calls it a grace. In fact, it's called a grace in verse 1, verse 6, verse 7, verse 19, and also in chapter 9, verse 14. It's a grace. Giving in this way, sharing with your heart, is a grace. And what is a grace? Well, I think it's something lovely and life-giving. If you think of a grace as something lovely and life-giving, and we see it in Jesus' example, Jesus himself, he stepped out of the grandeur and perfection of heaven and came to be one of us. He left his Father's throne above and bled and died for Adam's helpless race. He emptied himself of all but love. He made himself poor so that through his poverty, through that grace and life-givingness, we might become rich. It's something lovely and life-giving, and it's called a grace. And it's called a grace because we give in spite of circumstances. We see in chapter 8 that the Macedonian believers, who themselves weren't wealthy, were so excited about the opportunity to share and to give with the believers in Jerusalem that they started this collection. They wanted to do it. They gave enthusiastically. Any of you that a year or so ago watched the videos with Rob Bell, you know the Numa? I don't know. You know that one? Strangest thing. Rob Bell. His church, Mars Hill, in the States, instead of having a bag like this, because it's a much bigger church than ours is at the moment, what they do is, because they have, you know, they have hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of people, that instead of having little bags, which wouldn't take enough, they have buckets at the doors, but they don't call them giving buckets, they call them joy buckets. Isn't that nice? Joy buckets. And if you go on the Mars Hill website and listen to any of their podcasts or anything, whenever he refers to the joy buckets, they've obviously practiced this, they all go, "Way!" and start clapping. But there's a real sense of hilarity and cheerfulness about giving, because they're sharing. And you find out what they're doing in terms of the works that they're doing with street people in ghettos, with clinics for people that have been shot or injured or violent crime, all these different things. And you think, they know that their sharing and giving is making a difference. And that's why I loved Sue's enthusiasm, because through Food Bank, that sharing and giving is making a difference. And it's creating this cycle of life that overflows and creates more and more, that brings blessing as well as just meeting needs. The last thing that I want to say before we move into our time of communion is in chapter 9, verse 10. Let me just turn over. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. The word supply is a funny word. It's the word I need to make sure I get this right because I've been saying it wrong all week. Corrigio. 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 And that's the word that we get chorus from. Corrigio. Because it's the leader of the chorus. It's the bandmaster. It's the person who gathers the singers together for a public festival and pays their expenses, make sure they've got the right kind of clothes on, make sure they've all got the music. Basically, is the one that supplies everything that is needed to have the singers ready to praise and to sing out the anthem at a festival. And it says that God is the chorus leader. God is the one who supplies everything that you need. He supplies, seed to the sower and bread for the eater. He's the one that makes sure that everyone's got what they need. They've got the right words. They've got all of the things that they need. He arranges the circumstances, underwrites it all, both directly, supernaturally, like feeding the 5,000, and indirectly, through the natural means of cause and effect. And the purpose of God supplying all these things is that through these situations, our lives become harmonious together, that we function as God's choir, and guess whose anthem we're going to be singing? We're going to be singing an anthem of praise and thanksgiving to God for his generosity to us in Christ. And as we sing that out, others hear it and go, I like that. And they join. And God says, I'll supply the robes you need. I'll give you the words you need. I will bless you so that you, out of your blessing, can overflow with praise. And then draw more and more and more. And it's teeming with life. It's overflowing. That all, God can make all things abound to us in every circumstance, in every way. There's this sense of overflowing. It's like a fountain, a brook that's constantly bubbling up. More and more and more. That's sharing. And it's sharing because it's the thing that shares it is out of the heart. That it's the life and love and generosity of God bubbling up in us and through us. And when we do that, it makes the difference between giving and sharing. Your giving will meet needs. If you do nothing else, then give, because there are needs that need to be met. That's good. But when you share, when you give of yourself as well, your giving blesses you, it meets needs. It glorifies God and it unites God's people. That's what our passage said, which is something so much better, isn't it? We're not just one person walking along humming a tune. We're part of this anthemic chorus, underwritten by God, singing his praise and drawing others to find out more about this overflowing life of God. So remember this, Paul says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound, you will overflow in every good work. So as we move towards our time of communion now, let's thank God for his grace of giving that sent Jesus for us. And also let's share our lives with him and with each other, not because we must, but because we may.